Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are going to sit down, please sit. Those of you who are leaving, a quick exit's a good idea. Let me firstly say it's a great pleasure to be here, to be working with Ricky Burdett and the team from the London School of Economics, and working with Bruce Katz and the team from the Brookings Institution, and all the colleagues from the Alfred Harehausen Society. My task is essentially to bring a metropolitan perspective from outside the USA, and to try to answer the question, does international perspective and experience support the proposition that the next economy will be grounded in metropolitan areas and that it's possible to foster it directly through concerted action? To start to answer this question, let's begin with the public observation that's being made worldwide around the world that the recent crisis, the crisis that we've discussed and we've all been through, represents in fact not just a catalyst, but a new starting point for metropolitan economic development. It is, in a sense, the most important and profound starting point that we've had for a long time. Here's the OECD. For the first time in a decade, local leaders have the compulsion to innovate, to sharpen strategies, to tighten visions, to position for long-term prosperity and to unite citizens and stakeholders behind a well-crafted local development agenda. And then we've got United Cities and Local Governments, the Global Association of Cities. There are four implications for local governments from the crisis. One, new economic strategies. Two, new investment strategies and tools. Three, new partnerships and higher tiers of government. And four, a renewed focus on public sector efficiency, including city government, including reform. So this crisis that we've spoken about has been seen in the rest of the world as the beginnings of a new approach to economic development at the local and the metropolitan level. And if we look at the United Nations and again at the OECD, confirmation of the key contents of the next urban economy. In a sense, the United Nations, the OECD, the World Economic Foundation, the European Commission, and all of the others agree broadly with the proposition. This is not just a message for US metros, it's a message to all the metros of the developed world. A new approach to economic development, not based on cost competition, not based on tax incentives, but focused on the ingredients of quality and of success. The key ingredients of the next economy are being articulated by these organizations all of the time. Production as well as consumption, distinctiveness and uniqueness, building on the DNA of places, scientific and technological innovation, inclusiveness, focused on building human capital at every part of the labor market, entrepreneurial and networks, knowledge-rich institutions, the list goes on. The important thing is the 10th point. That in order to unleash the quality of life and the quality of place needed, in order to have climate change as a driver for the new economy, we have to re-engineer local government and higher tiers of government to support this kind of space much better. Now, the London School of Economics, in partnership with Brookings Institution, has tried to throw light on what is the next economy in metropolitan areas elsewhere in the world. Led by Professor Ricky Burdett, a team of researchers has undertaken four case studies looking at particular places which are not necessarily the most successful metropolitan areas, but are good examples of metropolitan economies that have faced crisis and in response to crisis have built intentional paths to success, to sustainability, and to resilience. And I'm going to spend a few minutes now telling you about these areas and what they've achieved. They are Munich in Germany, Turin in Italy, Barcelona in Spain, and Seoul in South Korea. If we focus for a minute on Germany, Munich is the capital of Bavaria, great state in Germany. Here you can see in southern Germany, close to the Czech Republic and to Austria, other cities in the region such as Nuremberg, and a great wealth of economic assets. The story here in Munich is a story about a metropolitan economy trying to stay ahead on innovation. Germany is Europe's strongest economy. It's the fourth most important economy in the world. Munich and Bavaria are seen as Germany's Silicon Valley, if you like, one of the top-performing metros in Europe. with what's called the Munich Mix, an interesting mix of large firms and small firms, research-intensive institutions and government, bringing companies like BMW and Siemens and MAN together with publicly funded bodies and with small entrepreneurs. Now, Munich, believe it or not, faced many challenges, not just the challenges that were associated with the end of the Second World War, but more recently in the 1990s, the end of the Cold War heralded the drop of in demand for defense and aerospace activity. German reunification a few years later created an enormous stress on the economy. The European recession that we've just had has been a big challenge. But Munich, through concerted efforts and a 30-year strategy built around a political and economic consensus for a way forward, has become one of Europe's most successful metropolitan economies, and certainly Germany's most. And we'll hear a bit more about it in a minute. So this has produced, for example, research facilities, universities, incubators, clean tech facilities that Munich didn't have before and have propelled it forward. If we look now at Turin in Italy for a minute, Turin, as you know, is the capital of the Piedmont region in northern Italy. Again, it has substantial economic assets. It's close to the thriving port of Genoa, close to Switzerland and France, with assets like the Fiat factories and one of Europe's top universities based there as well. In Turin, what we have, in a sense, is Italy is the seventh most important economy in the world, the fourth in Europe, and we have the modernization of an old manufacturing city into something new. We think of Turin as the Italian Detroit, where 50% of all of Italy's automobile production was concentrated for almost 100 years, and where the automotive sector, because of the challenges it's been through, has been part of triggering the crisis that Turin has had to respond to. So there's been a very important focus here on diversifying the economic contents of the city, modernizing the manufacturing base, and building more than 100,000 new jobs over a period of time, again through concerted action, and including facilities like diversified economy, producing new export products such as the new Fiat 500, a design classic, but also a low-carbon classic. The redevelopment of industrial buildings for other uses, city center regeneration, and of course cultural investment, which has been so important. Our third metro is Barcelona in Spain. It's the capital of Catalonia, one of the more self-governing regions of the country. But when you look at Catalonia, you see it's a major Mediterranean port city, close links to southern France, and new knowledge economy districts emerging, as you can see on the map. Now, Spain is the fifth most important economy in Europe, the 12th in the world, and Catalonia is its strongest performing region. Catalonia has historically been the place where industrialization, production, and entrepreneurship happened in Spain. And Barcelona's overall approach these days might be classified as becoming the capital of the Mediterranean. It's not only literally been made the secretariat for the Mediterranean Union, but it's also a city whose port is most important in the Mediterranean and which has exercised its influence over the whole region. But the challenges that Barcelona has faced date back to 1975. The end of 40 years of dictatorship with the death of Franco left the city extremely weakened, both in terms of its economy and in terms of its institutions of democracy and government. 21% unemployment in the mid-70s, weak democratic institutions, and incredibly high global competition. Since that time, Barcelona has experienced a powerful surge in terms of both its economic development, its entrepreneurship, its economic diversification, and its improvement as a city of great quality of life and quality of place, moving now from being the 30th most successful business city in Europe to the fourth in a four-year period. And this has been coupled with the modernization of the port facilities, hugely improved logistics functions, as you can see, new digital districts, a great quality of life, and it's a modern visitor city, a great destination with street life and many other assets and attractions. Our fourth metro, here we are. Fourth metro is Seoul in Korea. Obviously, it's the capital of South Korea and a very dominant city within that framework. You could say that the strategy here has been about achieving a new global innovation center. The miracle economy of South Korea over the past 30 years, double-digit growth, has been driven by the innovation and technology economy in Seoul. It's a global leader in IT, high value-added exports. It's the headquarters of Samsung and LG. But back in the 1970s, Seoul was also going through a crisis. The oil crisis, which obviously hugely constrained global demand for its products. Very rapid population growth, so that population overtook infrastructure very quickly. Competition from neighboring countries, and then of course in the 90s, the Asian financial crisis that took capital out of the system. All of these crises that Seoul faced have been tackled, as it were, with a long-term approach based on investing in technology and in innovation, growing a new and different kind of economy, and rationalizing the use of resources, including land, to create a city which is more attractive, more successful, and more effective. So, for example, you see here the reuse of landfill sites for public amenity, creating parks and public spaces, reclaimed waterfront, particularly the opportunities to provide quality of life assets, new digital districts being created, huge incubators of jobs there, and the modernization of the manufacturing base in order to create a new diversified labor market opportunities for people. So these four metros that LSE cities have studied offer, we think, some interesting insights about what the next economy might need to include if it's going to work. Now the question is, are the lessons here transferable lessons to US metros? And before we focus on that, we need to remember historically that metros in Europe and in Asia have learned a lot from metros in the USA. After all, it was metros, cities, regions, and states in the USA that invented the idea of focusing on the local business and investment climate, or focusing on the entrepreneurial spirit and the corporate presence needed, or focusing on immigration as a source of growth, or trade promotion, or connectivity. So it's not that these European and Asian metros have lessons for America and it's a one-way street. It's just that the core lessons that they learned from America were digested, I think, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And many of the commentators from the European and the Asian metros have said they want to see American metros be much more confident about what they're good at and what they have historically learned. But what are the lessons? What is it that we can say are the important things that have come from the European metros? The first one to say is that if you look at these four metros, we observe systematically, time and again, active, aligned, and intentional government focused on the whole process of economic development, not just on the process of promoting individual businesses or sectors, coupled with private sector and institutional partnership that are forged around a long-term agenda, a shared vision, the combination of bottom-up and top-down approaches, and where the alignment produces a scale of investment and reinvestment that makes the transition to a new economy possible. The second thing we've seen is that internationalization, global positioning, and trade have come together. It's not just an export economy, although export is very important. It's about the process of internationalization of all of the institutions, the process of encouraging tourism in order to open up, the process of internationalizing universities in order to have greater human capital, the process also of attracting foreign direct investment as a way of transferring technology between companies and between places. The third thing that's been very important has been the focus on a knowledge economy, innovation-based entrepreneurship, and the modernization of manufacturing. Now, much has been said about this morning. Our European metros and our Asian metro confirm absolutely the importance of modernizing the existing manufacturing base, diversifying the outlets for supply chains, and adding to that both knowledge creation and company creation in the knowledge economy, applying innovation technologies to existing firms as well as to new firms. This has been a very strong focus. The fourth observation is that there has been a strong link in all four of these metros between human capital, as it were, the attractiveness of a place to human capital, and quality of life and quality of place. In other words, focusing just on producing human capital tends to result in brain drain. Focusing just on quality of place tends to produce places that are lovely and may increase tourism, but may not increase productivity. These metros have worked on improving place, quality of life, and producing human capital at the same time, in a virtuous circle. And then the fifth area has been that the green economy has been and is a driver for new firms, for new jobs, and for new sectors to emerge. And it's also a driver for a more rational use of resources and land and other inputs. So let me try to illustrate some of these points very quickly, talking a little bit about what's happened in our metros and giving you some examples from them. So if we think about what's happened in terms of active, aligned, and intentional government, we have many examples here, firstly from Turin, where the future vision of the city, encapsulated in a metropolitan plan, has been a successful 20-year effort to reimagine the city and to bring people together. We have in Munich, for example, the Future Bavaria program, which has been focused on building the knowledge economy, building the infrastructure, the venture capital, and also the new firms required to make it work. In Barcelona, there's been a long-term focus on metropolitan strategic planning, creating, again, a consensus approach about the future between public and private, between national, between regional, and between local. And in Seoul, for example, we've seen leadership roles undertaken by business, by government, and by universities working together in what's usually called the triple helix to create a new regional plan around how to develop and where to develop the knowledge economy. We've seen all of these things, and we've seen the creation of effective intermediaries, new financial tools, and a key role for integrated strategic planning in our metro. If we look next at internationalization, global positioning, and trade, you can see, for example, there's been a very strong focus on tapping emerging and growing markets. This has been key in Seoul, where Seoul's export of digital content, for example, to other Asian economies has grown enormously. Barcelona has seen the opening up of the Suez Canal as a way to participate in seaborne trade. Turin, for example, has focused a huge amount on trade and export development, using its Chamber of Commerce to help it do that. All four of the metros, including Munich, have hosted international gatherings like the Olympic Games, not just because they like track and field, but because they're very interested in opening up to the international community and using the investment that comes from that to modernize their infrastructure. International tourism, as I stressed before, is not just a way of generating short-term jobs, it's a way of opening up the economy. So you've seen in these places new and improved ports, exports, iconic buildings, and international facilities all created to make this work. If we look at the knowledge economy now, you can see that in Munich, we've had the Munich Cluster Program. It's been very successful in identifying 19 hubs for biotechnology, energy, and environmental technologies. We've also seen the Future Bavaria Initiative produce 2.9 billion euros worth of new investment. And in Barcelona and Turin, we've seen the growth of new companies, the Barcelona Activa Initiative around entrepreneurship and new firms. We've seen the Politecnico of Torino also being very much involved in creating new companies, 122 since 1999. So many examples of knowledge economy, innovation-based entrepreneurship, and the modernization of manufacturing. And what this has produced, of course, is supercomputers, synchrotrons, digital districts, world-class research facilities, and those things that are the hallmarks of successful metropolitan economies. If we think of the strong link between human capital and the attractiveness and distinctiveness of our cities, then we can say that in Torino, you know, an amazing investment happened to renovate the historic buildings and at the same time to reconfigure the existing university offering to make it more attractive to modern students. If we think about Barcelona, the Do It in Barcelona campaign really encouraged people to set up their companies in Barcelona and to make that work. Better quality of life in Seoul and new amenities such as the regeneration of the old river have created public spaces that people can enjoy. And in Turin, the master plan has created a new attractive city center. So if we see here some of the pictures, you can see a revitalized waterfront, improved city centers, new amenities for people to enjoy, cultural institutions, and of course public spaces that create the kind of ambient that people want to see. Now if we look lastly then at green economy, we can see, for example, in Munich, a very strong focus on energy production, the use of feed-in tariffs to develop an alternative energy system and becoming energy self-sufficient. We've seen in Barcelona solar fuel, for example, becoming an important element of job creation and business growth there. We've had automotive firms in Turin becoming much greener in the way they produce and producing award-winning green products. And at the same time, we've seen in Barcelona high-speed rail introduced, and in Munich, we've had this compact urban green focus, creating a better use of resources in the cities. The result has been solar power, high-speed rail, green buildings, compact redevelopment in our cities to make them work. Now, is the success of these four metros measurable in objective ways? Well, firstly, if we look at Munich, the long-term upswing in GVA per worker over a 20 to 30 year period shows you really significant change and Munich outperforming German averages. If we look at Turin, the growth of employment, again, over the long term, 15-year upswing in employment, and again, well above national averages. If we look at Catalonia, where Barcelona sits, over a 17-year period, employment growth, again, higher than national average. These metros that have embraced elements of what we're now calling the next economy have outperformed their peers and become more resilient. Here in Seoul, where the relationship between Seoul and the South Korean economy is very intense, you can see GVA rising very much. Now, there are all kinds of other evidence that show you that over the 20 to 30 year periods of the strategic plans and the vision-led consensus that I've been talking about, huge improvements have been made. We don't have time to talk about all of them now. So here's my next question. Can US metros develop similar paths to success that these three European and one Asian metro have developed? Is there a way in which the current crisis can be a proxy for these other crises that the European and Asian metros face and do something rather similar? Well, the evidence seems to be that it can. You've already heard from Bruce Katz that Brookings has engaged with three US metros around a process of business planning. The idea is a bottom-up approach to creating what I would call regional economic strategies. These are not just focused on business. They're about infrastructure, environment, investment. They're about the social and environmental dimension of success. And these three metros, Northeast Ohio, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Puget Sound, have developed these three business plans to see how they can adopt some of the practices that have succeeded elsewhere. These three metros are well known, I think, to many people in this room. An average of 3 to 4 million people per person. 16, 17 counties in each of them. These are complex governance arrangements where the tool of business planning is being used to bring together partners who wouldn't otherwise work together. And each of these business plans plays a particular role. Firstly, it's a bottom-up process in three stages. Firstly, situate the market position of the metro economy. That means understand ourselves, but also understand others. It means regional strategies that are about generating metropolitan prosperity and thinking about how we can do that. And then it means creating at least one detailed development initiative to take forward the regional plan in the way that it's been conceived. So these detailed development initiatives include, for example, in Northeast Ohio, support for small and medium enterprises who are manufacturers to transition to new products, new consumers, and new markets. Very much like what has happened in Turin, in the automobile industry, which has also diversified to new markets, new products, and new consumers. In the Twin Cities, the focus here is to create an enhanced entrepreneurship by creating a specialized center, providing all of the advice and guidance needed to really boost the entrepreneurship rate. This is very similar to what's been done in Barcelona, in the Barcelona Activa Center, which has driven that firm formation rate. And then in Puget Sound, the idea here is to turn some energy assets into a strong energy efficiency cluster, just like has been done in Munich over the past years with their energy initiative. So these business plans don't just articulate a single initiative. They set out a comprehensive strategy for the future, a shared leadership platform, and they also constitute something of an investment prospectus. So, is all of this possible? Is it possible that our metros can have economic self-determination? Can the US metros adopt the practices of the European and the Asian metros? Well, first we can note that if you combine the best of the US and the global long-term practical approaches, this looks promising. All of the European and the Asian metros have borrowed lessons from the US, as I say. They're based on the idea that the next economy provides a huge opportunity as well as a challenge. The competition is going to be fierce, and many metros begin with challenges that they would like not to have. So these challenges are shared challenges that have to be faced at the beginning. But I think we can also assert from the experience of our three European metros and the experience of Seoul that the history and evidence demonstrates that there is a powerful metropolitan dividend for confident action based on the lessons I've been setting out. The next economy will reward those metros who can lead their efforts, and it will reward those who support them. And a key part of the competitive advantage of those metros is the leadership required. It's the leadership of these collaborative, aligned, integrated approaches that makes metropolitan economic development possible. So how do metro leaders make that happen? The subject of our next panel is a conversation with some of those leaders, and I'm delighted to hand over to Professor Ricky Burdett to introduce that panel. Thank you very much.